Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about understanding shelter, the shelter God offers us, and that we then get to extend to our family and others who come through the doors of our lives. Also, if you'd like to contact us, email us at 4@fourthstream.com. Use the number 4@fourthstream.com.
I think what we're talking about today with regard to a family shelter paradigm is something that I don't think that many people figure it out, you know, from the perspective of why we provide shelter. I think there are people who get the idea of sheltering others. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty common in the human experience, although I don't think it includes every human family. Mm-hmm. But the idea that family shelter from a spiritual perspective is totally wrapped up into the kingdom, because our purpose here on the earth has a lot to do with the children that we raise and the families that we establish and how that furthers the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. I like what, when we talk about family shelter, one of the scriptures that we use to sort of give an example of it is, then Jesus, as he was talking to people, he said, and I love how he kind of pauses, almost like he's talking to a child, how can I make this understandable? It says, how can I picture God's kingdom for you? What kind of story can I use? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. Now, isn't that just a great picture of growing a home that shelters the people that live in it and the people that come through it?
Well, you know, right from the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And mm-hmm. so the whole idea of the seed of humanity, but also the seed of God in the world is a big part of the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, God is 100% behind family and family being something that honors God.
Mm-hmm. And the shelter that he wants to give us through the family here on earth. There's the issue of maturing ourselves and our family to get to where we can offer this kind of shelter. And these are quite a few verses, but they're wonderful. I really don't like the idea of having to be corrected, but these verses are so exquisite in how it shows how tender and full of love God is in his discipline, or another way to use it sort of is in his education of us. So here it is. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines, the child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training, the normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us, so why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. And at the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God.
And where is that that you just read?
That's in Hebrews.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a beautiful picture of how God looks at family life at its core. And it shows the connection between what we do in our families and what God is doing in his family. Mm-hmm. And his family is the kingdom of heaven. And the king is his son, and his son is over the family. I mean, mm-hmm. he's his firstborn son, and we are all responsive and responsible to the one who created us. Pretty beautiful.
It's in Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't say that.
Well, you did. Now you've said it twice. Now we've got it. We nailed it down.
You've got it.
Hey, well, so as it relates to that, that sets a great tone. Our Father's kingdom has come to the earth, and you know, he's revealing himself, and he's revealing eternal life to the world. You know, God set up the whole environment the way that it is so that redemption, and that it would cost him something. You know, God's outside of time. So mm-hmm. it's not like he went, whoops, you know, I didn't know that was going to happen.
I wasn't ready for this.
Right. So in that, God's kingdom, he wants his kingdom to grow. And he wants our families to represent that picture of the kingdom growing. And that's why it's way more than going to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though that's a part of the kingdom and part of understanding the kingdom, it's that kingdom connection that we have with our king that can be funneled through the family and modeled through the family. It's just a beautiful thing.
Well, it is. And the kingdom eclipses the family. And that was, I remember going through a period of time in my life when I realized that my children could become idols.
Yes, and that, I remember that conversation.
Yeah, and while I'm supposed to be completely invested in my kids and my family and my life, my heart is supposed to be completely invested or given over to God. And that was just a kind of a new thing for me to learn, because I sort of equated those as the same thing. Raising my kids and doing all the right things is how I knew to do them. It's not the same as loving God. It's a part of it, but it's not the only part.
Well, family serves a greater purpose. And, you know, God's intent is that we it's a part of our stewardship. You know, how we live our family life and how we develop our family life, it only lasts for a time, but it's totally tied into eternal things because we're all a part of God's family.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. Well, kingdom eclipses family, but family serves the kingdom. Because, you know, the way I understand it is ultimately, you know, and I've loved being married to you all these years, and I'm planning on finishing out my years married to you, but ultimately, we will be married to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how radical is that?
It is radical. And I'm going to read some more out of Revelation 21 because it explains this idea so well. And it's honestly still a mystery to me. But it says, I saw heaven and earth new created. Gone was the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem, new created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. The tears are gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued, look, I'll make everything new. Write it all down, each word dependable and accurate. And then he said, it's happening. I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning. I'm the conclusion. From water of life well, I give freely to the thirsty. Conquerors inherit all this. I'll be God to them. And they'll be sons and daughters to me. We'll be family.
Yeah, and I think that you could make an argument for the fact that the things that happen in our families here are supposed to prepare us for the family that is to come.
Mm-hmm.
And be part of our connection. And, you know, really in a God-focused world, that's how family functions. It's not the end in and of itself. It gets us in the direction of understanding mm-hmm. what it means to find God as our Father.
Well, and it's helpful to me, too, if I see it all as a continuum, life moving into heaven, rather than there's life, and then there's this huge jump to a whole new life that doesn't have anything to do with this one that's called heaven. And when I see that, it's more of a continuum, and that's not really the right word either, but it still makes it feel more like there's a reason to do all this here because it continues in heaven.
Well, I can't think of anything I'm more proud of in the world than my daughter and my two sons. But even in thinking about that, the fact that they're called my children and your children, that's a cool thing. But the fact that they're going to be called sons of God, now mm-hmm. that is so beyond wonderful. And we talk about a reward of parenting.
Well, yeah. And that talks about that in the Beatitudes. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. And I love this next one. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family.
So
blessed are the peacemakers.
Yes, absolutely, because they're going to inherit the earth. Kingdom eclipses family. Family serves kingdom. Family gives way to kingdom. And family is our ultimate destination because, you know, the Father is everything. As a dad, I love being respected by my children.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you know, what they learned from me and what they experience in this world is preparing them for the fatherhood of God over them with nobody in between them. That is just like, that's just a wonderful thought.
Yeah. It says in Colossians, he was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross.
What a neat thing it's going to be. I think I'm a little emotional today, but just thinking about the fatherhood of God and spending eternity in a perfect family relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, the Father's family is the family of the great King. And, you know, we're covered by the blood of Christ, and that's how we come. We've been able to return to our Father. But that isn't just in the sense that it covers us here. The idea is that we're restored mm-hmm. to our position as sons and daughters of the living
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I love this when it says, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, because he's going to take all the broken and dislocated peoples, and sometimes that means families. We mm-hmm. get broken, we get dislocated, we're hurt, but he's going to bring it back together into vibrant harmony.
What a family, great family atmosphere is going mm-hmm. to be in the New Jerusalem, in the kingdom of heaven. So I asked myself the question, and I would share this with you, in what ways have you experienced shelter in this life, or how have you extended shelter to other people? Because to the degree that we do that, I think we are living out the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, God, I'm just thinking right now that passage in Ruth about under whose wings
yeah.
you have come to take refuge. And that's a picture that's in the scriptures, is the wings of God are covering us from the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And delivering us into the eternal kingdom.
Yeah. I think there's a whole gamut of how you can be sheltered, whether it's a neighbor who took care of you when you were a kid, you know, somebody who paid attention to you, or a coach. There are lots of different ways besides parents that God tries to show you that you're being cared for. I think those are all the same ways that you can extend shelter as you become an adult and have kids, all the way then to fostering kids or adopting kids, or, you know, allowing people to move in as they're going through hard times.
Well, I would venture to say that I think any place you see shelter happening, you can be pretty sure yeah. that God is behind it, because yep. it doesn't come natural mm-hmm. to the human race, because we're so self-focused. But to shelter, to be involved with shelter, you have to set yourself aside and make sacrifices to do that. And it's a beautiful part of the kingdom.
I have time to read just one more thing. It's out of 2 Samuel 7. King David went in, took his place before God, and prayed, "Who am I, my master God, and what is my family, that you have brought me into this place in life? But that's nothing compared to what's coming, for you've also spoken of my family far into the future, given me a glimpse into tomorrow, my master God. What can I possibly say in the face of all this? You know me just as I am. You've done all this not because of who I am, but because of who you are, out of your very own heart. But you've let me in on it."
Mm. You know, God even sheltered Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mind blower. 4stream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to 4thStream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at 4thStream.com.